Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hi, this is Donna Sebo, and welcome to an hour of Mind Power. Now, we're going to be having a guest in a little while, but before we have her, she'll be coming on in about 15 minutes. We're going to be talking with Catherine Clark. It's about a chickadee and a whale. It's just an absolutely wonderful, wonderful book. But I thought, in the first part of the show today, that I would share with you a story about a man who's an entrepreneur. And this is a man who's just really worked so hard for so many years. His name is James Tyson. And you may or may not know anything about him, but he is, actually it's Dyson, excuse me, I mispronounced it, it's D-Y-S-O-N. James is a man that to me is the epitome of an entrepreneur. And I find that when I come across stories like this, it's always good to share them, because so often in life, when we're living in our own worlds, we're just getting sort of discouraged, and we think, oh, is it really worth it? It just seems like I'm in such a rut. I can't seem to get out of things. Well, James is a man that I think is a good example of someone that has perseverance, patience, and persistence, the three P's, yes, that are very, very important for any of us to be successful in life, whether we are an entrepreneur or not. He said, having an idea for doing something better and making it happen, even though it appears impossible, those are still my dreams. His story, I think, is a very good one. He decided 1 year that he wanted to build a better vacuum cleaner. Now, he's been inventing things for a while, but when he decided that he was going to do this, it really wasn't what he originally had in mind as a younger individual. He is in his early 60s at this time. As a young man, he went to the Royal College of Art in London, and he discovered he had a knack for design work, industrial design work. And he designed and developed a sea truck. And this is a boat, I guess, that has just been used by so many people through the years. And it goes between islands, and they're able to haul just about anything and everything. And then he came up with another idea called the ball barrel. It was the redesign of the wheelbarrow. We're all friendly and aware of that handy-dandy item that we love to use in our work around the house and for our gardening. But they didn't think it would work. He did get it out to the public. The public loved it. And instead of having a wheel, it had this ball that enabled you to move around. Well, when he did that, he made a mistake. He had assigned the patent to his company. He didn't keep it under his name. And he ended up not being with the company that he originated, being bounced out of it, and consequently, the company maintained the patent, and he didn't. Well, he got this idea that he wanted to design a vacuum cleaner. And he came up with this cone design that would spin so fast that the centrifugal force that it created would just suck up dust, dirt, and go right into the vacuum, and you wouldn't get any of it going back out into the room. I don't know about you, but when I've used vacuums, many times when the bags start to get full, you'll find that there is a dust. You can actually smell the dust that's not going into the bag. It's really quite interesting. So he designed this so that it would not do that. And he thought he was going to be able to license the design to some companies that were already making vacuum cleaners. But nobody was interested in this. They all felt like if somebody else should have come up with this concept, and his just wasn't going to make it. So in 1986, now this was 8 years after his original design, he licensed his designs to a Japanese company, but he didn't get a whole bunch of money out of it, even though the company was making an annual $20 million in sales off of his design, but it was enough for him so that he would be able to then look at getting a U.S. manufacturer. And he made a comment that I thought was very interesting. He said he felt so lonely in the process because he would always have to confront what he called armies of executives. And this is a quote, "I cannot overstate the soul-destroying drudgery of sitting in a boardroom with all of these specialists, each with his or her own little area in which to attack you." Well, there was one major company in the United States that said they were interested in it, but then they dropped the ball. They didn't continue. And he thought, okay, enough is enough. I've got to come up with things myself. So he decided that he was going to go to work. Now, it took 5,127 prototypes, 14 years of debt, an unbelievable amount of lawsuits that he went through before he really, really was ready with his vacuum cleaner for the consumer. And 1993 was the year, and do you know what? By 2005, Dyson vacuum has dominated both the European and American markets, and he is now a wealthy man. It was a very, very long road for him, but it was a road of experience that he decided he wanted to travel. Now, one of the things that he says is fear of failure is not a bad thing. For him, when he starts getting scared, it causes his adrenaline to get moving, and consequently, he feels like he's living on the edge. And he said, "I always have this feeling of hope, even though I'm in that very, very dynamic environment that for a lot of people can be very frustrating. For him, it's motivating." And he said he felt it was a combination of both being absolutely committed and totally engrossed in what he was doing, as well as having a lot of faith that he could do it. And one man that was an inspiration to him was Jeremy Fry, a British entrepreneur. And Jeremy's attitude was, if he thought something was a good idea, he'd just pursue it. If he didn't like something, he didn't bother. He didn't care what other people thought. And so he was an inspiration to James Dyson. And he was questioned that he had made a statement at one time that entrepreneurs will be wrong 50% of the time. And he was asked, is there any way to change that, where someone could be correct more than 50% of the time? He said no, and it would be terribly boring if we really could improve on it in a way, because everything is unpredictable. Everything is different day to day, and you should not be put off by the fact that there may be people that know more than you do and who are more experienced. He said in his life's journey, he found experience doesn't really count for anything because every day is day one. And that's why he enjoys it. It's a pretty good perspective, don't you think? Every day is day number one. You begin right here, right now, where you are. This is the day. This is an important note, I think, because if you don't realize that for yourself, then you're going to be stuck in a patterning that is going to make you feel like you're suffocating, and you'll throw up your hands in utter exhaustion and frustration, thinking that it's not worth pursuing your dreams or your goals. And I was talking with someone not too long ago who said they had never, ever dealt, and I've said this on the air, perhaps you've heard me say it, they'd never, ever dealt with someone who was really successful, and was success in a real solid way, that hadn't gone through a lot of bumps and lumps in life. And I agree 100%. Now, another thing that James said is that everybody has ideas, but they might be too busy or lack the confidence or technical ability to carry them out. He said, but I'm different. I want to see them to the end, and I have to get up and I have to do it. And he said, I get away from work. I go out and I do my running, and I spend as much as I can in time with my family. But there are some things that I want to do, but I love inventing. And I think that there's a message in that too. If you really love what you do, if you really love it, and you take time to take a break, remember your friends, your families, your neighbors, your animals, and just being able to go out and just check out life in the odd lane every once in a while so that you have a break and you can refresh yourself. But work really is something that is a joyful experience if you're doing what you love to do. And you're going to realize that you're not ever going to be able to guarantee everything 100% of the time, and that's what makes life an adventure. So I wanted to share James' story with you because I think it is a good one. Entrepreneurs, any one of us can be that on any level in life. You don't have to be a multimillionaire. And he went a lot of years, tough years of being in debt, struggling with lawsuits. A lot of people would have given up after the first one, but he said, oh no, I've got to do what I have to do, and I know that I'm going to be able to make it on my own. And eventually he did, even though he tried to bring other people into the equation. Either they didn't understand, or they wanted everything, to take everything from him, or he was naive about certain processes and had to learn and grow through them. And I think that that is part of what we all go through, isn't it? Haven't you had times where you've hit those lumps and those bumps and you wondered how you could do something so stupid or do this, that, or the other, and then after you beat yourself up, you pick yourself up and say, okay, that's enough of that. I think it's a good idea to set a timer. When you really get upset with yourself, or maybe have a pillow you can scream into when you have those moments where you get so frustrated. But remember, this too shall pass. And something that someone told me a long, long time ago, he said, ask yourself a question. Is this going to make any difference in 100 years? Well, maybe it will. On the other hand, maybe it won't. And I think sometimes we just need to put things into perspective. Because I don't know about you, but sometimes we can frustrate ourselves so much that we absolutely make ourselves go in two circles. And then we wonder why we're so exhausted. I've been there, I've done that. By the way, I wanted to share something with you quickly. There's a pacemaker now that has come out for the stomach, and we are going to be having a guest in just a moment. We're going to be having Catherine Clark, and we're going to be talking about her wonderful book. But there are some people that have a very poorly controlled type 2 diabetes, and they have a major problem with obesity, and so they turn to the gastric bypass surgery to lose weight. However, they've come up with something, this pacemaker. It's implanted. It might do the job much less invasively by sending electric signals to make the person feel full. In volunteers who got this particular system, it's called the Tantalus system, T-A-N-T-A-L-U-S, they lost an average of 11 pounds and lowered their blood sugar, enough to cut the risk of many complications by 40%. Well, don't check it out and look for it happening immediately. Apparently, it's going to be about 5 years. That's the projection for this. People are always trying to think of ways to do things, and there is so much that we are having to learn about ourselves. And I think one of the biggest things is becoming aware of nutrition. And of course, every single one of us are unique individuals, but becoming aware of nutrition and being willing to explore what works for you that enables you to help your body be well and to work efficiently. And I know for me, I have found that there are proteins, particular proteins for me, that when I ingest them, I don't have a problem with getting extremely hungry. It's when I don't have them that I find that maybe I really get extremely hungry. But this is something we all have to figure out for ourselves. So I encourage you, be open, be receptive to learning, but realize, too, that you're the boss. Like Jack LaLanne says, you're the one that puts the food in your mouth, and you're the one that swallows it, so you're the one that gets to make the choices. And that is very, very important. We're going to be talking with Catherine E. Clark about a wonderful book, The Chickadee and the Whale. This is there she is. Hi, Catherine.
Hi, Donna.
I'm so delighted that you're with me today.
Oh, thank you.
Now, are you in New York today?
I'm on Cape Cod, Massachusetts.
You're in Cape Cod. Beautiful, beautiful place. And, of course, it's evening back there now.
It's evening, and it's very cold.
Ooh, how cold?
Today it reached a high of, I believe, 12 degrees.
Yahoo!
Which is unusual for Cape Cod.
Well, I'll tell you what. I talked with a friend of mine in Alaska this morning, and it's in the 40s up in Anchorage. So I think maybe you ought to take a flight, go to Anchorage, warm up in Alaska, and go back to Cape Cod. Oh, my goodness. What fascinating, fascinating facts go on with the weather. Catherine, you have been very much involved with wildlife.
Yes.
And you just love to draw, you love to write, and you said that your granddad would take your artwork when you were a little girl and would hang it up in the windows of his restaurant when you were about five. And eventually you started painting and selling wildlife art at local shows in New York.
Correct.
And you ended up becoming a graphic artist at the Ross Park Zoo.
Mm-hmm.
And your book, The Chickadee and the Whale, and this is a baby chickadee's adventure, I think is just gorgeous. Your artwork is wonderful. And the story about wildlife that you have in here is so delightful.
Oh, thank you.
What prompted you to pick these two creatures, the chickadee and the whale? Was this a real-life experience that you had?
Well, when I moved to Cape Cod, I became involved on the whale watches. I wanted to see whales up close so my paintings would be really accurate.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that would happen a lot would be we would encounter songbirds that would be out in the middle of the ocean and land on the boat. They'd be out too far, either migrating or after a storm, and just too far out, and they would land on the boat and ride all the way back in to shore on the boat. Chickadee is my favorite bird. I currently do a lot of artwork for Birdwatchers General Store on Cape Cod.
Uh-huh.
And I sell a lot of artwork of birds. And I illustrate a weekly article called Ask the Bird Folks of Birds.
Mm-hmm.
And the chickadee is just my favorite bird, and I think I'm really good at painting and drawing them. And whales are my other favorite subject. And I just thought, well, I made up a story around the two subjects I felt like I could paint really well and I knew about really well. And there are chickadees in a place called Beech Forest in Provincetown, Massachusetts.
Uh-huh.
That's a true location in the book. Just on the outside of those woods is the ocean. And you can actually go up there with sunflower seed and stand there in the parking lot and chickadees will come to your hand.
Oh, for heaven's
sake. So the chickadees do live there. And so it was just a cute little story I had in my head, a way to incorporate both of those subjects in one story.
Well, it's such what I call a cozy story. I mean, this is the type of book that when you had have kids and you'd have them cozy up around you just at bedtime and say, all right, we're going to be traveling to a part of the United States and maybe have them look up the location of where you are and look up that and said, okay, now that we're going to be talking about the creatures that are in this part of the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
And that is what your artwork does when you open up. You have this beautiful forest scene, and you have the chickadees in their little nest, the baby bird with the mama and papa outside on the branch.
Mm-hmm.
And you talk about what they see and what they're looking at, the butterflies and all of this. And then the one little chickadee is just like a kid.
Mm-hmm.
And that's sort of the feel that you get for it. And here you are, this little chickadee is saying, I wonder what's out there. And, of course, he is aware he can hear the sound of the water, but he cannot necessarily see it. But his parents will tell him about it, and he gets excited. And then they're told they have to go and fly, and so the adventure begins.
Yes.
And it is, it's just so charming. And you have a red cardinal in here. And for those of you that live on the East Coast, you're well aware of that. I know in Virginia, where my husband's family is located, they just love to see the cardinals. It, they're just beautiful, beautiful birds.
And I tried to put enough things that would be anywhere, everywhere. I was hoping not just the East Coast, but out your way as well. I'm not even sure if you have, do you have cardinals?
No.
Oh.
No, we don't have any. We don't have, I've not seen any. We've got woodpeckers, all kinds of species of woodpeckers. But, no, I've never seen a cardinal, or have I ever heard of one being out here. And if there's a Washington, I'm in the state of Washington, so if any of you listening in the state of Washington said, hey, Donna, I've seen a cardinal out here, give me a call and let me know, because I I haven't. I haven't heard anybody ever talk about them. But I just love the way the journey of this little bird finally ends up taking him where he's able to find the ocean. And one of the charming pictures in here, I think, is when the little chickadee, this little tiny character, is right in front of a piping plover. Now, I've never heard of a piping plover. Of course, I'm not on the East Coast either. Well, what's so special about the piping plover? What kind of bird is this?
The piping plover is a small shorebird which was very endangered and almost extinct at one time because all its habitat occurred where people like to drive their SUVs and drive out onto the beach. So they were having no nesting sites. And once this was discovered, and it's not just the East, there's many areas around the world where there are piping plovers. The beach is closed off for the time that they're nesting, and there's no vehicles allowed. And they're allowed to make their nests and raise their young, and then the beach is open again. A lot of people are not happy about that, that they can't go into the beach, and their time is like right beginning summer, right when people are starting to want to get out to the beach. But it's thanks to that that the piping plover has made a huge comeback. And another thing they do so that their eggs aren't disturbed by coyotes or raccoons or dogs, they put a fence around their nest. They just make a little indent in the sand and lay their eggs right in the sand. So they put, it's called an exclosure to keep predators out so their eggs are safe.
Oh, how wonderful. That's fascinating. I was totally unaware of them. So here you've got this, and then, of course, the little chickadee finds that he has a companion that's right behind him called a crab. And that crab causes him to go up in the air, and your drawing is just adorable.
Oh, thank you.
And, of course, the animals, the birds are communicating, and the fiddler crab apologizes to the chickadee, saying, I didn't mean to scare you. And he walks sideways, and the chickadee is just getting all of these experiences because this is not something that was in his world. And then he becomes acquainted with a whale. He has these various adventures that you take us through. And, again, the drawings are just wonderful. How did you make a connection with a chickadee and a whale? Do they actually, do the chickadees actually in real life interact with whales?
No, they would not. That's my love for animation and animated stories like by Pixar and Disney and all those who put together crazy characters. No, that I have to say that would probably not happen in real life. But I like fantasy and I like the idea of animals interacting in a fantasy story. I know there's some folks who say, oh, they would never do that, and you shouldn't indicate that animals talk to each other. But you know what? Then we wouldn't have any of these wonderful, you know, we wouldn't have Mickey Mouse and all these great animated feature stories. And I don't know. I just think it's fun. And in real life, no, I don't believe they would probably interact like that.
Well, I'll tell you what. I have interviewed enough people that have dealt with wildlife that some of the seemingly not possible scenarios often happen. That's why I ask you if you had observed it, because it has come to the attention of researchers how crows will actually teach wolves or tell them where a kill is so mm-hmm. that they can go feed. The reason that there is this wonderful communication between the crows and the wolves is that the crows like the marrow of the bones, and they can't crack them, but the wolves will
mm-hmm.
in the process of eating.
Mm-hmm.
So then they are able to get a little bit of munchie themselves.
Mm-hmm.
So there is this cooperative interaction that only with good observation are we often able to discover, and that's a fairly recent discovery between wolves and crows.
Yes, yeah, so, that's amazing.
You know, it's just fascinating. So again, we just never know, and that's
exactly.
to repeat myself. I thought I like to ask the question because sometimes people see things and experience things. Maybe it's one in a million occurrence. It could
That's
be something
right.
that happens every day, but they will talk about it and write about it. But your art with the whale, and again, all of the other creatures, makes such a sensitivity and an appreciation come across through the story
mm-hmm.
about how we can live harmonically, how we can help each other, we can do things. And you do it through the story of the animals, and I really think that that is such a nice way to be able to convey that kind of a thought to children. But I'll tell those of you who are listeners who love to collect children's books, when I was doing appearances with my award-winning book, I was astonished at how many people would buy a book. They were adults, all ages,
mm-hmm.
and they'd say, I just love kids' books. I
Me
go
too.
In and I, just,
I, have, I
yeah.
collect them.
You collect them yourself.
Yes.
Okay,
mm-hmm.
so you know what I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm.
It is something that they say, I want this for my library, because they have maybe children or grandchildren, but they say, no, I'm the child.
Correct. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So they go and they read them. Now, Catherine, your book is just so beautifully done, as I've already said. I mean, I love the exquisite drawings that you have in here, and the warmth and the touching story that you have. And I think for kids, it's just, well, it's mind candy and eye candy in many ways
mm-hmm.
because it just gives them such positive reinforcement. Do you have a website that people can go to?
Yes, I do. CatherineClarkStudio.com.
And that's Catherine with a C.
C.
And Catherine Clark, and give me the rest of it.
CatherineClarkStudio.com.
Studio.com.
CatherineClarkStudio.
Well, there you've got it. And if you are a person, again, that likes to collect books, especially children's books, this is a must-have. The cover on it shows a beautiful, beautiful whale. It also shows a baby whale and dolphins, a lighthouse. It's just exquisitely done. Now, Catherine, is this your first book, or is this? Do you have others?
This is my first book. It's the first of four I'm doing with the same publisher. The next one will be called Birds Around Us, and that's more of just my art and illustrations.
Mm-hmm.
The third book is a field guide of birds of Cape Cod. And the fourth book is going to be just a story, a cute story of me and my life with my dog, kind of like a me and Marley kind of thing.
Oh, well, you're going to have to send that to me when you get it, because this is just absolutely wonderful, and I wish you the best in everything that you do. The book is The Chickadee and the Whale. Catherine Clark is the artist and the storyteller. You can go to CatherineClarkStudio.com, find out more about her artwork, which is just lovely. And if you enjoy nature, if you like whales, if you like birds, this is something you might want to add to your collection. Catherine, thank you so much.
Thank you, Dana.
For being with me today, and I wish you the best, and be sure and keep me informed about your next publication.
Absolutely. Thank you.
You're welcome. This is Donna Sebo. We're going to be taking a break, and I've got some fun stories to share with you when we come back, so don't go away. Hi, this is Donna Seaboy.
If you're searching for the perfect gift for a child, consider God's Kiss by Donna Sebo. That's right. Donna is not only a mental practitioner and psychic, she's an author as well. God's Kiss beckons all children and the young at heart to enter the dream world of a little traveler named Johnny. You can order your book today by sending a check or money order to Mrs. Sebo's Classics, Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497. That's Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497. If you'd like both the book and cassette, you pay only $19.95 plus applicable tax and shipping charges. This is the book for your favorite child of any age. Donna Sebo's God's Kiss is about a child's sense of place in the world, and it's destined to be a children's classic. Order now. Call 1-800-872-8852. That's 1-800-872-8852. God's Kiss is written by Donna Sebo and illustrated by Ed Gedros. Buy it today. 1-800-872-8852.
Join us at the 7th Annual Conscious Life Expo Conference and Film Festival, February 13th through 16th at the LAX Hilton, 5711 West Century Boulevard, Los Angeles. We are bringing together cutting-edge speakers including David Icke, Sonia Hoquet, celebrity and musician David Carradine, Danyon Brinkley, George Norrie, Sean David Morton, Vashali, and many more. Visit www.consciouslifeexpo.com. or call the box office 800-367-5777 for discounted tickets.
Do you want to lose weight? Do you deal with diabetes, high blood pressure, osteoporosis, or chronic pain? Do you want to know one of Dr. Perricone's 7 secrets to beauty, health, and longevity? Do you have 15 minutes a day to look and feel better? Then let me introduce you to TTAP, the workout that works. For the beginner or expert exerciser, learn from physical training specialist Teresa Tapp how, in just 15 minutes a day, you can burn fat and sugar, build strong bones and muscles, and lose inches fast with no equipment or jumping. Visit the TTAP website, ttap.com, or call 1-800-342-0717 to learn how. That's T-TAPP.com. We'll help you lose inches, look good, and feel fabulous at TTAP. 1-800-342-0717. TTAP.com.
Hi, this is Donna Sebo. Telephone lines are now open. If you'd like to call in and chat with me, well, I'd be delighted to light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight. Here are the toll-free numbers, 877-876-5227. That's 877-876-5227. Worldwide, the telephone number is 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. I do want to let those of you who are new listeners know that all you need to do when you call in is give me your first name or your initial, and then after that, you are welcome to ask me a question about anything that you like. I do want to let you know also that we have a wonderful lineup of people next week. We're going to be talking about children and their near-death experiences on Monday with PMH at Water. And then also, and this is going to be a week really focused, I think, quite a bit on intuition, Waking Up Your Intuition with Kimmy Rose on Tuesday. Wednesday, we're going to have an open mic day. We're going to be talking then on Thursday with Jane Lyle about the Cup of Destiny tea reading, and then Shaking the Grove with Blythe McGarvey. So we've got an interesting week, a little bit of what you might say an insightful level of topics that we're going to be able to share with you. So be sure you always check with the bbsradio.com site so that you can see the listing that we have of guests that are coming up, and you'll know what's going to be going on. I wanted to share with you for just a moment, if you're in the far north like my guest that I had, or like me in the northern area of the United States, during the winter months, it's especially significant that you take care of yourself and make sure that you take vitamin D. Why? Because it has, of course, been associated with osteoporosis, diabetes, hypertension, and cancer. But they've got some new research out. They find that when we as adults don't get enough vitamin D, it's often called the sunshine vitamin, as you know, we're 26% more likely not to have the stamina physically that we're supposed to have. There was a 12-year study of 13,000 men and women that they found, because of nutritional deficiency of this particular vitamin, it's just amazing. It makes everything work better in your supplementation program, so be sure that you take it. Now, one of the things that you can do besides taking the supplement is to be sure that you utilize full-spectrum lighting in your environment during the darker months. I know that this is something that we've put in our home, and it has made a phenomenal difference. So this is something that really will assist you, but be sure you take that vitamin D. Cod liver oil used to be one of the primary sources for it, but now you can get it also in a standard pill form. Are you out looking for a brand new car? Is this something that you feel that you want to get, but you look at the price tags and you go, I think I'm going to keep my wallet close to my pocket or in my purse and think very carefully about this? Well, if you're interested in buying a new vehicle, here are some tips. Gary Foreman of the DollarStretcher.com, that's the website, said if you want to buy a vehicle, buy towards the end of the month, or better yet, buy at the end of each quarter, March, June, September, and December. Also, talk to them about financing and check other resources like your credit unions for financing, because this is a good time to realize that you could have a new car if you wanted it and also get a very good deal on it and get financing where you may not have to pay any interest on that financing. And I'm not talking about someone socking it to you later on in the payment plan. I mean, they really are anxious to sell cars. Also, you can go and do some homework by checking out KBB.com. That's the Kelley Blue Book to research various automobiles. And also Cars.com, you'll be able to put a request in with them to find out what competitive quotes you can get. When I bought my car a few years back, I was fascinated to find that in one dealership, for example, in Tacoma, Washington, there was a particular price. There was one in Bellingham, and there was one in Linwood. And I ended up buying my vehicle in Linwood because it saved me over $5,000. It was just amazing to me that when you shopped around like that, that was what happened. So I made the trip up to the dealership, which was quite a long drive for me, but it was worth it to me to save the amount of money that I did, and you could do the same. Also, you need to, when you're buying a new car, think about what it's going to cost you to own it. If you are the type of person that turns your cars, if you drive a great deal in that car, you replace your vehicle maybe every 2 or 3 years, you need to really do some homework as to what it's going to cost to run that vehicle. And if you're going to be keeping it longer than that, then you've got to check on the records of a vehicle's performance and compare different models, because you need to factor in your depreciation, insurance, your interest payments, fuel, repairs, and all of these things can add up after a while. We had a friend that decided they were going to buy a brand new vehicle, and they did exactly that. They really checked out the records on different cars, the amount of repairs that typically were done on them, because you are dealing with mechanical items here. And they found a model of vehicle that was rated so high for its performance, for its stamina, and its comfort, and a number of things, that was the vehicle they ended up getting. And it basically was the same price as some others that they had looked at, but it was not going to break down. And I can remember I did that once, too, when I was shopping around for a vehicle. I wanted a vehicle that was going to give me what I wanted. It wasn't a high-end level. It wasn't a luxury model. But, by golly, I was able to sell the car for what I paid for it, which was really amazing 3 years after I had bought it. Also, you might want to look into used cars if you're really wanting to save even more money. And a lot of the older models are really good buys. And the depreciation, apparently, really hits hardest the first 3 years that you own a vehicle. And it's recommended that you shop late November through December when used car lots are less busy, and do your homework again. And there are real tough negotiators selling used cars, so you want to check out a site, Edmunds.com, Edmunds.com. It's a senior consumer advice editor that has all kinds of information to share with you if you are willing to do that. So those are just a few tips regarding automobiles. My goodness. We're a very mobile society, and I don't know about you, but I couldn't live without my automobile. I would just feel very isolated if I didn't have it, because I go to so many different places, and it takes a while to get there. And if I had to walk, holy Moses, it'd take me hours. If I had to use any a bus transportation, it would take me even longer, I think, sometimes than walking. So I like my automobile. Would not want to give it up. Donna Sebo here. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. 877-876-5227. Worldwide, 888-815-9756. I'd be delighted to light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight. Have you ever had a precognitive dream? Well, I have, and I've talked with, well, literally thousands of people through the years, both through shows and meeting with them personally, who have had the experience of precognitive dreams. Well, I wanted to share with you a few stories. Now, these go back in time a little bit. This one is about Pope Pius V. There was a meeting he was in, and he was talking with the treasurer, and he went over to a window of the office that he was in for this meeting, opened it up, and was looking out of the window, and he went into a state of relaxation, turned his back to the senior Vatican officials that were in the room, and then turned around to them, and they said his eyes were just shining. They were so bright. And he looked at them. He said, "You need to leave all this for now," indicating the ledgers and the financial statements that they had been going over. "We must go and give thanks to God. Victory has gone to the Christian fleet." Now, the treasurer that was in the room was making notes of everything he was saying in the minutes of the meeting, and he said this statement was given by the Pope just before 5 p.m. on October the 7th, 1571. And a fortnight later, on October 21st, a messenger galloped into Rome from Venice with news of a historic naval victory. Their Christian fleet under Don John of Austria had beaten the Turkish fleet at Lepanto, and according to the official report, it had become clear that the victory was theirs just before 5 p.m. on October the 7th. No cell phones then. They had to wait a long time to find out the information, but that was Pope the Fifth's experience. And then there's another one that I came across. As Napoleon was advancing into Russia in 1812, there was a wife of a Russian general, a Count Torshkov. She had a dream. In this dream, she saw herself in a room at an inn in a town that she didn't know at all. Into the room, her father came and was holding her small son by the hand. Her father had a message for her. We're going to be taking a break in just a moment. When we come back, I'll share that message and the experience that she had when we do come back. This is Donna Sebo, and if you'd like to chat with me today, the telephone number to call into is 877-876-5227. Also, 888-815-9756, and that's a worldwide number, toll-free. Wherever you are, you can call in. Donna Sebo here. We're going to be taking a break. We'll be back in just a moment. Hi, this is Donna Sebo. I think we're having some problems today with our equipment. Let me finish the rest of this story here. The Countess in this dream, as I mentioned before I took a break there, that her father was coming in the dream, holding her little son by the hand, and he was very sad. He told her that her husband had been killed by the French. He said, "Your happiness is at an end. He's fallen. He has fallen at Borodino." Now, this dream had come to this countess not just once, but two more times, the exact same dream. And in the end, she ended up telling her husband. Now, together, they searched all kinds of maps, but they could not find a mention of this particular place that was mentioned in her dream, the Borodino, anywhere. However, on September 7th, 1812, the retreating Russian armies turned and defied the French at a village called Borodino, and they were defeated. Now, this countess and her family were staying at an inn that was just a few miles from the battlefront, while her husband was commanding the reserves. The very next morning, her father entered the room, holding her son by his hand, and said, "He has fallen. He has fallen at Borodino." Fascinating, isn't it? The mind is a radio, in a way. Actually, the brain is the radio. It's a sending and receiving station. And we're all sending and receiving all the time. But unless we pay attention to what is going on, we often are not going to be able to understand what is evolving. Now, you hear a couple of stories like this, and you'll say, well, the one about the Pope, that's not a big surprise. That's telepathy. That's the term that we would use today. There was information being sent by many of the minds towards the Pope saying, "We've won." Okay, so you have that. But what about this with the Countess? How would you appraise that one? What would be the positioning you would have in saying why something like this could occur? The mind is absolutely infinite, and there's all kinds of probabilities about things that can happen. When people set certain actions into motion, it seems as if there is like a domino effect, a probability effect. Many times, an outcome can be shifted and changed because of someone making a decision to change it. And that is one of the paradigms that's being expanded upon in this world that we're living in today. This is something with this woman, the dream came to her, and of course, my goodness, this was, you know, back in the 1800s, but she did not know that there were some things that could be looked at. But there was a probability factor relative to her husband, the position that he had, and this location, because of the way activities went, there was a warning that was being given. And her mind was a good receiver. Now, somebody might take a positioning and say, well, why is it that it couldn't be changed? I don't know. Perhaps there could have been a change that could have been implemented. I've known people that have had experiences that have been given warnings. In fact, Edgar Casey was given a very strong warning. He was in a building. There was an elevator. He gets ready to step into the elevator, and he looks at someone, and there's this color around them, and he is just so shocked by it, he doesn't get on the elevator. He can no more explain it than a man on the moon within just a matter of a couple of minutes. The elevator, when it was activated again, loaded with people, it crashed, killing everybody that was in it. Sometimes it's the way we respond to the information that we receive that can create the shift, the change, the difference. I've talked with people from different cultures, different environments, and they have all said that dependent on what they were taught or what they would experience, many times they would get information that would allow them to see what was perceived as the future. When someone sees a psychic, or, for example, if you were to talk to me on the air, and you would say, Donna, I would like to know about this, that, or the other, there are those probabilities That's why I call myself an information resource. But remember, the information is there for a reason. It means that there is a probability factor. It doesn't mean that it absolutely has to happen that way. If you have a mindset where you say, I want to know about information, and you become a good receiver of information, you then realize there may be some things that you can do to change an outcome. You can make a difference. Some people I found that's not the case with. That's not the way their life seems to be patterned or designed to go. But with many people, there is an opportunity of choice, and that is something that you always must realize. But I shared those two particular dream experiences because I thought, one, they each had their own unique twist to them, if you will. And having had so many of my own experiences through the years, and again, sharing so many with so many other people, it doesn't surprise me. But again, never feel like you do not have an opportunity to be able to make a choice. You do. Well, how would you like to have a skinny kind of a pasta dish that you could enjoy that would just be absolutely luscious and you wouldn't feel guilty about what you had at all? Well, I've got a zucchini lasagna. And for those of you who are not real fans of zucchini, but you know that it is something that you want to have in your diet because it is healthy to eat, but you'd like to have some good flavor to go along with it, this is a recipe that I think is absolutely delightful. Now, this is all that you would need to have. You need to have 3 cups of low-fat milk, 3 cups of low-fat milk, 1/3 cup of flour, 1/3 cup of flour. You need 1 1/4 teaspoons of dry basil. I like to double that up a little bit more. I like more seasoning, stronger seasonings in my dishes, but the choice is always yours. 1/2 teaspoon of salt. You need about 2 zucchini or 1 pound. You have them crosswise and then cut them into 1/4-inch slices. You need about 1/4 teaspoon of pepper or whatever amount you would like to have. 1 egg, 1 15-ounce container of part skim ricotta cheese. And to make it easy, how about a jar of marinara sauce? Oh, about 24 ounces worth. And then get a package of the oven-ready lasagna noodles, or if you just want regular lasagna noodles, you can cook them up ahead yourself. And then you need 1 cup of shredded Italian 5-cheese blend. This recipe is so easy. You preheat your oven to about 350 degrees, and in a pot, you want to put together your milk, your flour, your basil, salt, and just bring it to a boil, whisking it away, and then reduce your heat once it comes to a boil, and cook until it's nice and thick. And that's going to take you about 5 to 7 minutes. And just take it off the heat and put it to the side. Now, your zucchini, you want to sprinkle your sliced zucchini with the 1/4 teaspoon of basil and pepper. And you want to put it then on a microwavable plate and stack the slices in about 3 layers with damp paper towels in between and microwave them for about 1 minute intervals until they're slightly softened. And then the excess moisture of the zucchini will go into the towels. Then in a bowl, you want to beat your egg, stir in the ricotta and the remaining teaspoon of the basil and salt, stir in 1/2 cup of water into your pasta sauce, and put 1/2 of the sauce mixture on the bottom of a 13x9 baking dish, top with 4 of your noodles, put the 1/2 of the zucchini slices, 1/2 of the ricotta mixture, and 1/2 of the milk mixture. Repeat the layering with the remaining zucchini, ricotta, and milk mixture, and then top with your noodles. And sauce, and cover it with foil. Bake it for 45 minutes, remove your foil, and you might want to sprinkle it with cheese, and bake it uncovered until it's nice and bubbly and the cheese is getting brown, about 10 minutes. And then when you take it out, let it set for about 15 minutes so everything comes together very nicely, all the flavors and the juices. What a wonderful dish to fix. Everybody will love it. The kids will love it. And don't forget, you could use some of the Parmesan cheese, too. Well, we're out of time. Remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. This is Donna Siebel. Have a fabulous, fabulous weekend. We'll be back here on Monday, right here at bbsradio.com, talking about near-death experiences with children. Join us. I think you'll find it very interesting. Donna Siebel here. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature, however, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.